Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Does America need to be transformed at this place in time? No. Tweaked? There are always things, too. This is like, we're going to repaint over here. You're remodeling. And then we're going to start knocking down walls. Well, they want to knock down walls and replace them. I'm reading Will Bunchden saying, what is it with these people? Why are they so concerned about what the heck's going on in bathrooms in high schools? Meaning the transgender issue. Really? And you think this is going to fly? That's what America says now. What is it with these people? No. We see the polling. We know that how people feel about this stuff. It's not a winner. It's not, Will. Not even a little bit. That's just a cultural war. Well, then why do we need to engage with all this hyperventilation of making sure that people that are male can be in female bathrooms? 855, the book banning. Again, you're being silly now, Dom. Why do you want to have them read Lawn Boy then into the record at school board meetings? Read the graphic stuff. What's the other one, Dan? There's Lawn Boy is the one I always go to because of the Lawn Boy part of it. There's another one, though, that you like
better. There's the one that, yeah, I'll have to get the name of that. It's very bad.
Very graphic.
Talking about, like, relations between a brother and a sister.
Yeah, stuff like this.
Normalizing that.
Right, yeah, stuff like this. Sure. Why are we banning kids in high school? Why is that something at elementary school from going down this path? That's what Josh Shapiro wants to know. Hear me on this. What an orator. All right, 855-839-1210. We'll get you on board. And again, we're waiting to see where this goes with RFK Jr. today. Now, this could be a pivot point day for Trump. If RFK Jr. particularly endorses, starts to move forward on that, I told you about Kemp in Georgia. Publicly, at least, Trump and the governor of Georgia have made amends together, going back and forth. And if that's the case, Kemp's got quite a machine in Georgia. That is a leg up to win a pivotal state. So even though you're going to hear over the weekend, pretty good size bump for Kamala Harris from the convention, these things are the things that win elections, the things that are going on today with Trump. And I think you could see the momentum start to swing the other way. Now, to that point, let's give Democrats credit. Douglas Murray does a great job at the New York Post, and you can hit me with any of yours. He says this was Oscar worthy, this fiction that they put on over the last 4 days. That's right. He has best leading actor. He doesn't say it could be male or female. Who was the best person that acted out big time in this? Nancy Pelosi. I agree. She went merrily on her way. She's clapping for Joe Biden. And at the same time, she's more than anybody the one that put the knife in. He has all sorts of awards. Maybe you have one, special effects. What award would Tim Walz get? You know, where did we? This is the most curious guy.
Best supporting actor.
Best supporting actor, you think?
He's not best lead actor. He's not good enough for that.
Yeah, he's beyond that, though. This guy has become. They're actually saying the party pivots now on this. That he is the new male.
This guy that we had no idea who he was 3 weeks ago.
I mean, look, we don't need to hold up anybody to say, oh, man, that's our ideal of masculinity. I wish I could be a Borowski. Oh, my God. But
I don't think anyone's thinking that.
Are we having guys across America saying, man, I'm hoping, kids, I'm hoping I'm like Uncle Tim. I'm hoping I have that unique blend of masculinity here. This is what they've come down to. Now, if that's winning in America, then I don't know America. I don't see how that's possible. By the way, Dan, I just saw this, that RFK Jr. will give his national address at 2 p.m. So we'll dip into that around 2 o'clock-ish here. You know, in the beginning, there'll be, first of all, he'll be late. They all are. I know we have Johnny Z at that point. But then we'll dip into it when he talks about dropping out and see what he says about Trump. But he will be dropping out. So, Douglas Murray, these are the Dems who deserve an Oscar for the fake all-in-act convention. Nancy Pelosi, to me, obviously, was a winner. I don't know what we would give to Biden. Cameo role. It wasn't even a cameo. They bumped him to 11:28. Even the relentlessness, ruthlessness right there. So 11:28. All right, let me go to Mark here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Mark, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Dom?
Good, Mark.
I just wanted to run some by you guys. It could be out there already, but I haven't heard of it, so I'm going to echo it and say that, you know, the Dems, they're always pushing this idea about Trump that he's going to drag girls out in the street who are going for abortions and put them in jail. And, of course, the old dictator thing.
Yes.
And that's what won't happen, because Trump isn't going to break the law. And he would have to break the law to do those things. But the irony is that that's the way the Dems work all the time.
Well, here's a case point. Last night, to your point, Mark, he talked about Kamala Harris said he's going to put journalists in jail. When the attorney general in California, she went after, and this was a big time case, this pro-life journalist who was releasing undercover videos exposing the abortion industry's fetal body parts practices. They were selling them, if you remember. She's the one that went after this guy to not only stop him, but put him in jail.
Yeah, they just totally disregard the Constitution and the laws on the books so that they can get their way. But then they turn around and use it as attack on Trump himself and others. So it's just very, very humorous to me. The way they work, not in a good humor either. So
have a nice weekend. Thank you, Mark. I get your point. Yeah, but this is a specific. Last night when she was talking about this, I thought, yeah, let me remember that guy's name, David Dilledin. If you remember, they had some of these people who were involved in the abortion industry there, and they were talking about selling body parts. He had the tapes of it. She went after him to suppress that and put him in jail. That's a journalist. He was a journalist engaged in this. Whether you like him engaging this, how they got them, these people drinking with them, whatever. Point being, Trump didn't put any journalist in jail. Not in the slightest. Let's look at what he did in his first term. Where's the evidence of any of this stuff? And as far as the abortion rap on Trump, I just think that's going to be a hard sell. Trump has consistently talked about finding a middle ground, no national ban on this. He didn't take the bait what DeSantis did with this ridiculous 6-week law in Florida. He didn't do it, and he's not going to. And whenever he talks about it, he doesn't say anything like that, and he hasn't said anything like that. Now, he talks about he put 3 people on the Supreme Court, and he's proud of that. They got rid of Roe v. Wade, as they should have. It was bad law. It's obvious. It should go back to the states. He talks about what happens state by state. Some states like Ohio were surprising how much they value abortion, almost overwhelmingly. Kansas, several of them, and they're going to have laws that reflect that. What in the world is wrong with it? But what I'm saying is, as a perceptual matter, it's going to be hard to go after Trump as the guy who is gung-ho on abortion and going to lock up doctors and all that. It's just not going to fly. He's a hard guy to pin that on. There's nothing there. There's a lot of other things you can say, but that's not there. All right, side question. Hit us with that film or TV show and give us that one scene. You know, and again, I caution, don't wait till the very, very end and then we have to rush people and all that. You don't get your full chance. Hit us with one. Dan, any others to kind of assault this on
some
Twitter?
Great ones on Twitter. Urban Conservative writes, I watched Gifted Hands, the Ben Carson story starring Cuba Gooding back in 2009. He says to the parents at one point, to the twins that he separates from the head, you have a tough decision to make, then a pause. Which one would you like to hold first? It's a great line.
Isn't this one of the top 10 mysteries? How in the world did Ben Carson do this?
It's nuts.
I mean, it is.
Conjoined twins.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody else. Not only that, he's so unassuming when he comes. You know what I mean? He's not this driven type of guy. Like, I did that. You know, that type of thing. He just, another day. We're able to do it.
Have you ever seen that movie?
I have not.
No, I haven't either. It was made for TV, premiered on TNT, but it's allegedly very good. Cuba Gooding Jr. was nominated for a Screen Actors Guild Award for Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor in it. And check it out if you haven't, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. 855-839-1210. One other update. We've been telling you about Mulligan's, but then after that, don't forget September 12th, bringing Don Trump Jr. to town. That will be a couple days after the debate to the Scottish Rite Auditorium in Collingswood. What a fabulous night it's going to be. And, you know, the people involved here, we're trying to keep it pretty intimate, but there's such a demand. We've opened up more seats. And in doing that, there's a huge discount. Huge. If you looked at it before, take a look now. You'll see what I mean. It is beyond substantial. And I noticed in the last 24 hours since I mentioned this, more people flocking in. Let's go to 1210WPHC.com. Make sure you have your seat. I promise you, this will be an electric night. Probably make news having him here in town. And he's been the architect of J.D. Vance and also apparently the key broker with RFK Jr. and Trump. So you get a chance, extend it. You know, no rush. We have plenty of time with him. We'll start to ask you for your questions, your insight on this with Don Trump Jr. Just go to 1210WPHT.com. Democrats, relentless, to put it mildly. A lot of flags, a lot of flag waving. You and I know they don't mean it. Reason Magazine has a great piece when they talk about freedom. What was the test of freedom that they failed miserably? Every single one of them. The King of Hare over in Jersey, Wolfman Hack here in Pennsylvania, nationally. And that is, once we had a better sense of COVID, look, in the first 6 weeks or so, we got to give grace on that. Tough to deal with this, tough to figure it out. It was a nightmare. You remember that. But just the ongoing slog. And this guy, Walls, was one of the worst. Snitch on your neighbors. You can't have X number. We're going to be counting them of people over for Thanksgiving. This guy crawls with every part of this. Reason Magazine writing a piece today. How dare they? The party of freedom. The test, the crisis was COVID. And how did they react? They flew in the face of science, of choice, and anything.
Hello, you have reached the Department of Public Safety stay-at-home hotline. The information you leave is considered public information. At the tone, please leave the following information: your name, your callback number, how the stay-at-home order is being violated, and where the stay-at-home order was violated. Thank you.
Record your message at the tone.
Thank you, Dan. Can you imagine where the stay-at-home order is being violated? How is it being violated? Well, I counted maybe 11 people going in. I'm not sure there. Governor Walls would want to know. How did they get away with it? Well, two things. The media, of course, the overriding. But I've said how many times they haven't had to pay for what they did when they revealed themselves during COVID. The worst is the head of human services in Pennsylvania. That's Arkush. Remember what she did? Her flunky board out there. She put people in nursing homes who died big time. She could handle that. Valerie Arkush. But she also had this guy, and I'm telling you, I'm going to get this guy on someday, this doctor, who said, nah, we're not going to open schools up for 2 weeks post-Thanksgiving. Remember that? Even the private schools couldn't open. We are going to be like Wayne Gretzky. You don't go to where the puck is now. You go to where it's going to go. He actually says this stuff. Their advisory board. They violated the sunshine laws and all this. And that's what they did. And these people out of Montgomery County, Little Philadelphia, they love it. They want to be dictated to, all under the name of being folksy or science.
Because in Minnesota, we respect our neighbors and the personal choices they make. And even if we wouldn't make those same choices for ourselves, we've got a golden rule. Mind your own damn business.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you, Dan. That's exactly what makes me want to get in on with this guy. Mind your own damn business. No, you don't, buddy. You want to intervene in everything. The gas stove, oh, that's science. You don't need that much shower. You don't need to drive that car. More bike lanes, anything imaginable. They intervene all the time. Let's face it. Their definition of freedom comes back to we want to get an abortion whenever we want. We want more and more and more. That's the entire definition. They have
you
to
didn't build that.
They have to throw in a bunch of other things. But he just said it right there. They did not pay the price for what they did. Randy Weingarten was one of the speakers here and at the convention, Dan. I didn't ask you to get. You don't have to.
I'll find something.
And Scott Jennings on CNN took her apart again, pretty much saying, how dare you? We had
being
kids.
Pro-family means we support access to good union jobs.
Yeah, that's pro-family, Randy. She was top three, the architects of what happened to kids during this. And the bottom line is these people running the public schools, you have to realize back to school this year, the COVID money's run out. They don't seem to be under any urgency threat in Philadelphia or anywhere else. By that, I mean, they've fallen even farther behind and they think, so what? It's all a game anyhow. All we have to do to stay in business and get all this money is public schools. We have to do one thing. What is that? Do we have to bring in better teachers? Do we have to uplift these test scores? No, we have to do one thing. We have to fight every day to stop school choice. That's what we got to do.
I knew there'd be something from her.
Okay.
Any of the things that are important every single day, we need to fight to get Kamala Harris and Tim Walz elected. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I said hello, Philadelphia!
How are we going to get them elected?
Oh, God. Oh, damn, when the crowd doesn't get into it, do it. They act like at the end they did it. We did it.
Do you know why we are here tonight?
You do? Why are we here tonight?
That, Dan and I was at that one. That's the one with Bloomberg where they gave out free wine and fancy cheeses to draw people. And that's the one where you play that lift because he was lifted up because of the height thing with him. And that woman was tremendous as a cheerleader. My God, insane. There you go. There's the lift. That's him getting into his seat. And they took him out pretty quickly. All kinds of Elizabeth Warren and all immediately. That's not going to fly here.
Can we play who did it better or who wore it better?
Yes.
Selected. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready? Are we going to walk?
That's option one, and here's option two.
I'm ready.
I thought you were going to play. The sound I liked the best of this week was AOC at the end, that weirdo accent that she did.
Why don't I have that in
that is
system?
That is an all-timer.
Slow
the,
on that
the life part of it, yeah, is just unbelievable. All right, 855-839-1210. You can't get enough of that accent. Even she can't tell us what it is. Yeah.
Here it is.
Wrestling on our way of life.
She sounds like an older person there somehow. Our way
of life.
Yeah.
Every single day to lift working people out from under the boots of greed. Wrestling on our way of life.
What? That accent. Fox brings on this nutbag, Marianne Williamson, to break down the campaign. How is this woman?
She's still relevant?
Well, she's another Oprah find, along with Dr. Phil and a bunch of other people. Dr. Oz. She's the worst, though. Okay, coming up, we have been on this, I believe, since almost January 6th. We have this teacher over in the Allentown area who was bounced because he was at the speech that Trump gave. He wasn't inside the Capitol or anything, from a teaching career. And his lawyer, Dan, I don't know if you remember this guy, Maloofy, is quite a character. And the stuff that he brought up, well, they just won this January 6th case, I believe, in the notes I have here, $120,000 in economic loss. And that's just beginning. They want an apology. If they don't get that, there's going to be more. This is a local January 6th case that I thought you'd want to hear I know that January 6th is going to still, these 75 days, be brought up again and again and again. Harris did it last night. So one more call, and then we'll talk with the lawyer and the client here on Talk Radio 1210. Let's go to Joe in Westchester. Hi, Joe. What's your movie or TV moment? Hi, Joe. What's the moment?
Yeah, well, it was a tough choice between The Kill a Mockingbird and the scene where the, I forget the actor's name, told the children to stand up.
Yeah, because
the
I
went with Casablanca. Yeah, I love it, too. But I went with Casablanca because it seemed more appropriate in today's world, where at near the end of the film, Casablanca, Humphrey Bogart gave a little speech to Ingrid Bergman about how there are problems in the mount to a hill of beans or something in this world, you know, or their personal problems because of the times, you know. I mean, this is not a quote. I couldn't even get that on Google. I didn't ask it, right? But anyway, because yeah, their personal little problems didn't matter. They were in a war-torn
World War II. Gotcha, Joe. Casablanca, that scene. There's several moments there. But yes, very good choice. Yeah, the moment in To Kill a Mockingbird is the... a guy who's African-American is with the daughter and says, stand up, your father's walking by. After the my moment in there that I've always liked, Andrew, did you see To Kill a Mockingbird?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Who hasn't in school?
I never knew what a Schiffer rope was until the Gregory Peck had to get her to talk about it. She brought him in to break up a Schiffer rope when she finally screams it out. Oh, my goodness. 855-839-1210. You'll get in. All right, this case, this January 6th case, is very intriguing. It involved a teacher right here in the Allentown area. He got bounced simply because he was at the speech, and what he said about it didn't seem to be out of bounds. School board and others, you're out of here. Well, maybe not so fast. They just won. We'll talk with them. Francis, welcome back. Jason, welcome back. And AJ, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having us. This is Francis, and I have Jason here. AJ's going to step in a little bit later. And the big thing here is that, you know, justice delayed is justice denied. They could have done the right thing that very week when they asked him where he was, and he said, I was a mile and a quarter away from the U.S. Capitol building, number one. Number two, he said he wasn't engaged in any violence. And number three, they spent 3.5 years failing to correct the record. And we had a 7-person jury in federal court do what elected officials couldn't do. And that's called accountability. It's called transparency. It's called responsibility. And it's called doing the right thing. You know, when you hurt a fellow student, when you're a board member, when the district hurts one of their own, a teacher with 17 years impeccable record, the most decent thing to do is say, I'm sorry, and correct the record. And, you know, it's surprising that it would have taken so much effort and so much time when all he wanted from day one was simply the truth to be disseminated to the community that he did not do anything wrong, that he was peaceful and at all times over a mile away from the U.S. Capitol building and never engaged in violence. And so we are here now, and we thank you for having us, Jason. Is here too, and AJ just popped in to say hello.
Well, thank you, France. One quick question, too. I'm impressed, and you're still pushing for a full apology, which I completely agree with. But also, these fines that were levied on these two school board members, the only way I found these public officials, if you will, understand is they may care that the $125,000 is out there on the school board ledger. But they care more when they individually get hit with this stuff for what they did, apparently, in this case.
Well, it's not just for their wanton acts. It's for their malicious acts, right?
Right.
You know, these are punitive damages. Punitive damages against these individuals were there to punish the individual and set an example that board members do not violate the U.S. Constitution, do not violate the First Amendment. It sends a message that if you're a board member, just because that community or that board might be left-leaning, you can't lose your balance. You have to respect the First Amendment. You have to respect, you know, the ability for people to politically affiliate and to assemble. And that's what's lacking in so many school boards right now, which really control the district in the end. And so it was a huge victory for American rights. It was a huge victory for people who do have conservative views that are afraid to stand up and share them, not in the classroom, but even privately, because, you know, we know, we all know that the public school system is far left leaning. But with that being said, you know, traditional democratic values, we're respecting the First Amendment. And we've seen that gone so far sideways that the things that really made the Democratic Party at one point appealable was the First Amendment, and now it's completely abandoned that position.
I agree. Let me bring Jason Moore into Francis, your client. So, Jason, welcome back. It seems like we've talked several times over the years. I'm so glad to see this, but you now are out of teaching, which is sad, and you want a full public apology. Is that the next step that you want?
Yeah. Hey, good to talk to you again, Dom. Thanks for having me. Yeah, absolutely. The next step in this is to absolutely get an apology and a public statement sent out to the entire community. You know, for years, the entire community was led to believe that I was a monster. And even though the verdict came back in our favor and the jury found that they had harmed me without the authority of the community, the school district to clear my name, that's what's needed. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'm trusting you again.
Yeah, well, let's bring in your other attorney, too, the day-to-day, I guess, in this, A.J. Fleur. A.J.?
How you doing, Dom?
Yeah, good. Welcome to the show. Now, one of the other things, and I wanted to ask you rather than your client, because I guess it's more of a legal matter, they also seem to indicate they didn't like some of the social media posting around events like this. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I mean, look, the whole point is that of the First Amendment is to protect, you know, what speech that might be controversial. If it's not controversial, it doesn't need protection in the first place. And the court, you know, told the jury and instructed the jury that, you know, Jason's social media posts were protected by the First Amendment. You know, it was protected that he went down to the rally on January 6th, you know, and engaged in no violence and did nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, him affiliating as a Trump supporter, you know, that's protected by the First Amendment. So, you know, the defendants, you know, they tried to distract the jury from that. But in the end, the jury came back. And let's be clear. The defendants really did not put on a defense and liability. They never gave a principled reason for why this false statement about Mr. Mora was ever corrected.
What was the false statement?
They said that he was at the U.S. Capitol building and involved in the Electoral College protest. Right?
There we
go. Not true. He was a mile away. Okay, a mile away at all times, over a mile away. And they knew it. They knew it from almost the very beginning that he wasn't there. The testimony showed, okay, 100% that they knew it and they refused to correct it. Look, they didn't put on a defense and liability. They really didn't. But that's kind of the point here. The point is that the process is the punishment. Okay, it's what they made him, the time and energy it took, thousands of hours to go bring this case to trial. Most people aren't going to do it. And that's what the listeners and the readers and everyone should understand, is that it just takes an incredible amount of time, energy, and effort to bring a case like this to trial.
Absolutely. Well, we commend you guys. And Francis, I know you from several cases. Big picture on this, too, and I think you were kind of hinting at it. What I say on this, look, on January 6th, there were some people who really need severe prison time. But it's individual cases. Your guy wasn't even at the Capitol. But the tentacles of January 6th that get out there, they feel they can go carte blanche. And he was a Trump supporter on top of it. Of course we can slur him and attack him. What's going to happen to us?
Well, look, what's going to happen is that there are attorneys out there, few and far between, and law firms that really care about the First Amendment. It's something that it's very important to the firm. And, you know, if there are people out there that have been hurt, we're always there to stand up for people's rights, especially the unalienable American rights, especially the First Amendment. So
I know that the law firm is Francis Alexander.
Yeah. And the big thing here is that when you look at the people that got really hit with the punitive damages, who are they? This is a chief of staff of a state representative, Peter Schweier, who chairs the education committee. So when you think about these school boards and the people that we nailed at trial, these are people that sit as members of Pennsylvania in the Pennsylvania Congress. And when you think about state when you think about chairs, the chiefs of staff of state representatives who chair education committees that are acting so callously and violating the Constitution, they need the questions asked of their committee, of their bureau, of the education committee, of Peter Schweier's chief of staff, Nancy Wilde, who got nailed with punitive damages. Why did you violate the Constitution? Why didn't you do what seven jurors could tell you to do for 3.5 years? And it's only because they are so bent on their political ideology and canceling out another's rights.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when we have this sort of silencing and this sort of this mentality where simply because there's diversity of thought, but it's not what you like, that you can cancel it out. That's a very, very slippery slope. You know, what makes education and what makes diversity beautiful is not because one person's black and one person's white. It's because people from different cultures come from different backgrounds that bring different ideas, okay, thoughts, and opinions to sort of the center. And that's what teaches critical thinking. That's what teaches, you know, a well-rounded education.
Exactly. And Francis, just let me interrupt into your client. One more question. We're up against time. Jeff,
yeah, Morton, go ahead.
So as a result of this, you're out of teaching, which is a loss, Jeff. What have you been able to do? Jason, what are you being able to do at this point?
Yeah, you know, I'm in this time period where I'm trying to find a vehicle to get back to doing what I love, and that's working with people and working with kids. It's all I've ever done. And I'm hoping that by getting a statement out where they tell the community I'm great, and it allowed me the opportunity to look into returning back to what I love.
All right. Well, let's hope that happens. To be continued. I'm so glad you got restored a little bit, and I know with Francis and AJ as your attorney, you're going to get that public apology there out of them. Thank you, guys, from the Francis Alexander Law Firm. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Yeah, I really, really appreciate it.
You are welcome.
Thank you.
All right, so that story we've been on for right from the very beginning after January 6th. And again, it's individual rights, individual cases. There are people, you know, you're crazy if you think there were not people that should get a severe sentence for what they did on January 6th. But the tales of thousands of people, some of them not even at the Capitol, look at how this guy suffered. And you heard the background of these school board members. One is apparently the chief of staff of this guy. Why do they do it? Because they think they'll get away with it. That's why I like it when it comes back on the individual to have to pay.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.